theology, which is coming, we'll find out that it encompasses much more than just those laws. It encompasses everything that Moses wrote in the first five books of the Bible. But there's something beautiful that happens here. In that death, notice what he writes, so that I might live to God. For through the law I died because the law killed me, so that I might live to God. We all love marriages, right? We love them. I love performing them because there's always God's presence and power. And I just love it because when two couples are committed to Jesus Christ, it's the way God intended it to be. You know, Paul actually uses marriage to make the point here. Not in this text, but in the one I'm getting ready to read you. He uses this institution to show why you cannot be under law and under Christ at the same time. And those verses are Romans 7, 1 through 4, and I'm going to read it for you. Or do you not know, brothers, this is Paul writing to the Roman church, or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law. He is on the Jews there too. The law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. Now, please listen to this. This is really, really kind of important. For a married woman is bound to her husband. That's this pictured. For a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. That sounds right, right? But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Listen to what Paul writes. Likewise, brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you might belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that you might bear fruit for God. Paul knew what he was doing. Beautiful illustration. This is for life. Look at it this way. This is us, and this is the law. When the law dies, this woman is free to marry Jesus Christ. When you die to the law is dead. It is no longer applicable to you. It is now you're free to marry Jesus Christ. You cannot be under law and under grace at the same time. They have to split. You say, well, how do you live the Christian life then? If we're not under the law. How many of you obey the law to start with? How many of you go back to the first five books? How many of you have gone back to the first five books of the Bible and tried to live it? Thank you. But I tell you how you live it. You live it by reading your Bible and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, right? And you follow him. You're not following all of those things. And by the way, you had Hebrew slaves and you had all kinds of stuff in the first five books of the Bible that we don't do today anyway. But here's the thing. And I think what Paul's been driving at, and I hope you're understanding where I'm coming from. He's trying to tell them, this is not about what you do, but who you belong to. You can't do enough good works to be acceptable to God. Only Jesus can do that. And it's all the way. It's all the way through. It's all the way through. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. So here's the thing. So choose life with Christ. Choose life with Christ. Pretty verses here. This is verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Ronald Fong in his commentary, writes this: by virtue of Paul's incorporation into Christ and participation in Christ's death, Paul has undergone a death whereby his relationship to the law has been decisively severed, and the law has ceased to have any claim on him. So he says, I have been crucified with Christ. The law leads to death. Romans 6:3 says this: do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Baptism. And I use this of every candidate that is baptized, that when we baptize, we are saying that we have died. And we have died to that which has killed us, the law. And in fact, because Christ died, we died with him. Of course, when I baptize people, I do not keep them under the water. I bring them up. That is symbolic of newness of life. That means just as Christ died, he was raised from the dead, I identify with Christ in death, and I am raised to newness in life, newness of life. I hope this is short-circuiting some of your theology. That's the intent of the sermon. It is symbolic of the death, and he says here, I have been crucified with Christ. Combination with Christ. We've been crucified with Christ. Now the combination. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Think about that for a second. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live because I have died. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That is, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, throughout the world. That Holy Spirit gives you the power. Of course, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Brothers and sisters, we do not live this life apart from Jesus Christ, nor do we live this life within our own strength. We live it within the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of you have experienced that power in times of hardships and trials. Right? I know you have. I've been your pastor for 9 years. I've known some of the struggles that you've had. And I've seen you rise to the occasion. Where does that come from? That comes from the fact that you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. You're able to push forward. You're able to push on. Combination. I love what Martin Luther, the great Reformed theologian, said. He said this: we are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. That means that we live in combination with Jesus. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I am not alone, brothers and sisters. You are not alone. You are never alone. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, he walks with you through this dark cloud. He also walks with you through sunny days. Please know this today: you are never alone if you were with Jesus. Never. Ever alone. Then he goes on to close in verse 21. He says, or in verse 20 and 21, and the life I now live in the flesh, that's this, the sarx, the flesh, where I'm temporarily housed. We're temporarily housed. By the way, someday you'll cast this tent off and you'll be in his presence. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I do not live by law. I do not live by works. I live in faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you know what? Do you know how much God loves you? And I've heard preachers say, you're this and you're that and you're this and condemnation and all of this stuff, and God's got a lightning bolt and he's going to zap you any second. Listen to me. It's true. It's true that we stumble and we sin. It is true that we make mistakes. Is there anybody in here that has never made a mistake once they've trusted in Christ? Thank you. If you'd raise your hand, talk to me after church. But all of us have sinned. And depending on which day God looks at you, it could be really ugly. But I want to tell you something. Even with that, God loves you with an everlasting love. And I know you've seen this video clip before, but I love it, and you're going to watch it again. So,
terrible. Unforgiving. That's how I saw God. Punishing us in this life, committing us to purgatory after death, sentencing sinners to burn in hell for all eternity. But I was wrong. Those who see God as angry do not see him rightly, but look upon a curtain as if a dark storm cloud has been drawn across his face. If we truly believe that Christ is our Savior, then we have a God of love. And to see God in faith is to look upon his friendly heart. So when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this. I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction in my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. Where he is, there I shall be also.
Radical. Radical on Martin Luther's day. Speaking to a church that thought that indulgences would buy somebody out of purgatory. Radical for the day that people were trusting in a denomination. Radical when you read Martin Luther's writings, particularly on Galatians. Wow. Way ahead. Faith leads to acquittal. Law leads to condemnation. Choose Jesus Christ and let him live with you every day. Father, we thank you.